You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Yes, you're listening to The Wire. Moving into our last piece. Phoebe Ball is of Norwegian and Pakeha descent. Growing up in Auckland, she now lives in Wellington working as a researcher. She recently spent 3 months at the Kōanga Institute based near Wairua, which is a centre for regenerative living founded by Kay Baxter and Bob Corker about 30 years ago. Over that time, they've collected heritage seeds from fruit trees, vegetables and flowers. They now have over 800 varieties of seeds. Now, we have actually had Kay on the show before when I was looking into alternatives for overusing phosphate in our fertilisers as part of my Western Sahara investigation, so it's great to hear a bit more about her mahi. I saw a post from Phoebe on Facebook about her time at the Kōanga Institute and the importance of our relationships to our grown kai. I reached out so that we could talk about this, particularly in the context of COVID-19. I don't know about you, this could just be me, but I wanted to know first what the actual meaning of a heritage seed was. So here's Phoebe.
Different people have different understandings of what heritage means. Kay's understanding of it over her lifetime of working with heritage seeds is that it's a seed that's connected to a community of people and a place. So it's a seed that's been grown out year by year by the same whānau or the same community in the same area. So it's had time to evolve to the local environmental conditions.
And how was your time there?
Oh, it's amazing. Yeah, I mean, I live in central Wellington, and it was just such a gift to be in the middle of the WAPS, surrounded by these experts in regenerative living. I was living in a caravan, which was fabulous. I called her Betty, my grandmother, and every day was just spent in the gardens, having my hands dirty. My job in the city is as a researcher. I spend my days typing. So to be there, just connecting with people on an issue and a kaupapa that's just sort of so important, especially now with COVID, felt really, really important.
Mm, and what was that sort of impact once COVID-19 started becoming like quite a serious risk?
It was interesting actually, because if you drive into Wairoa, into the town, and go into the supermarket, there'd be the only flour left was the gluten-free flour, and the toilet paper was being rationed. So in the town there was a sort of a level of anxiety, and you could see that people were sort of panic buying in some ways. But going back to Kōanga, it was so removed. There was sort of, I think, just such a strong level of security there, food security there, because they knew they had rich soils that they'd been building for the last 7-8 years, and they had access to seeds and water. So, yeah, I guess for me it was sort of a really interesting example of what food sovereignty can look like in Aotearoa.
And what is food sovereignty?
Well, sovereignty should be a word in Aotearoa we all know of, tinoranga, teretanga. To me, sovereignty is about power and control over something. So food sovereignty is about having the power and control and to make the decisions about your food. And that could be where your food comes from, how it's grown, even defining what food is. Different cultures treat some things as food and some things as not food. It's kind of power and control over food.
And does it have something to do with access as well?
Yeah, that's a really good point. Definitely. I guess it's a full spectrum, whether or not you can access food. And I guess that comes down to the kind of discussion around whether food should even be treated as a commodity in the first place, because as soon as it is and there's a price tag on it, you're creating access barriers for a lot of people.
So with the work being done at Kōanga or in terms of seed saving, how does that connect to food sovereignty?
Well, to me, our thinking around food has become quite narrow. We maybe think about where it was grown, maybe. Most of the time we just go to the supermarket and buy it. But really, food to me comes back to the seed. And depending on, the quality of that seed, who's been the kaitiaki of that seed, is what determines whether, or is a big factor in whether the food you're receiving is nutrient dense. And I guess the important thing with seeds is that if a local community still has access and care and control of a seed, they know they can always grow food. But as soon as you've lost the seeds, you're in a pickle.
Mm. And what's that kind of, in terms of having that power, or even the power of the knowledge that you can always grow food, that means survival, right?
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, it's something all of our ancestors knew, that, you know, that and it's not even that far back. For some of us, it was even our parents. In some cases, our parents, some of us, our grandparents, a lot of us, our great-grandparents knew about seed saving, and it was a skill that everyone grew up understanding. And so it's actually, yeah, it's not that far from our reach, I think. And for some of us, even talking to our grandparents would be able to access those skills. But they knew the skills because most people were growing their own food. And they understood that to grow the food, you also had to grow seed and preserve the seed and develop the resilience of that seed line.
Why is that important? I mean, both generally, but this is becoming increasingly important with, I guess, like a global pandemic where in this case, everything has been shut down. We've got borders shut, which could affect, you know, imports or exports or access again to food and other supplies, of course. So why is this important now?
I think COVID's really highlighted the fact that we are living in a globalised world, and it's highlighted the fact that a lot of those global connections are very vulnerable. In New Zealand, most of the seed we import, so most of the seed used by commercial growers is imported from Italy and in the USA and California. We all know how hard hit Italy has been. I don't know if their seed, the big companies there that are producing the seed, are even operational. And so if we're relying on foreign companies to be producing our seed, we're very vulnerable ourselves to an sort of epidemic like this or any kind of disaster or crisis when those global connections could become compromised. And the further away the seeds are from us, the less power and control we have over them. So those seeds in Italy aren't being bred for our local climate here. And so the closer the seeds are to us, the more we can develop the seeds to suit local conditions.
So in terms of people understanding this first and foremost, but even beginning to perhaps adopt it or attempt to kind of engage with it, what's the kind of reality of that for somebody if it's not actually an option to be, one, saving seeds or growing seeds and then harvesting and et cetera, et cetera?
Mm. Yeah, it's a great point. I mean, I live in central Wellington, and I've been spending a lot of time thinking about what food sovereignty looks like in an urban environment. It's funny though, we have this idea in our heads that in cities no one has access to land. I mean, and Wellington is a great example, you know, very, very few houses, especially in the central city, have much garden space. But actually when you look around, there is land there. A lot of it is owned by council. A lot of it is maybe used every now and then by a few people to have a picnic. It's not even a sports field. So I actually think there's a lot of scope for stepping outside of the idea of privately owned land to grow food and taking it into the sort of shared facilities around the city. But you're right, I mean, not everyone is wanting to go and start digging up dirt and building a garden, but I think food sovereignty can be worked towards in so many different ways. I mean, one activity I started doing here is mapping where all my local food producing areas are. You know, looking, do we have a local fruit tree map? How many local markets do we have? Because it's not just, we don't need to just think about food sovereignty as producers of food, but also as consumers of food. So even thinking about just, you know, how we are spending our money, are we giving money to the growers who are growing in the Wairarapa or Waikato or up in Te Pai Tokoro, you know, or are we giving it to someone on the other side of the world? And I think it's not, you know, we can support, freedom of choice is important, but yeah, I think that having the opportunity and challenging ourselves to be more aware of where our food's coming from is something we can all be doing. another kind of journey I've been going on that, again, isn't so much hands-on but more of a heart journey is asking myself, you know, what are my ancestral seeds? My people came over to Aotearoa in the 1870s from Norway. They were brought over to cut down the forest in the Wairarapa. But they would have brought seeds with them from their, you know, their homeland. What are those seeds? Because there's an interesting, there's a lot of research now around the kind of epigenetics and the biological connections we have to certain foods as a result of, you know, hundreds of years of a people consuming produce from one line of seeds that they would have, you know, been the kaitiaki of for four generations.
Wow. So,
yeah, there's so many access points. If you're into governance, you could, you know, be asking your council, do we have a food council? You know, do we have a group of community members thinking about the food systems of our city or of our region? But, yeah, I think for me, kind of underlying reason for this is around resilience. You know, if especially in the time of COVID, I think more and more people are aware of resilience, and based on the fact that Kwang is, you know, was selling out of seed, all the garden centres across Wellington were sold out of seedlings, people are thinking about the relationship between food and resilience. And so I think it's a really positive thing that people can be, have more control over their lives, their survival, their well-being by being more connected to local food.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.